Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face.
And that wasn't on board, with that, okay?
Are you a Xennial?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Born between 77 to 82. Yeah. You're a Xennial, is what they say.
I didn't know the new generation is called Generation Alpha.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's what they're calling them.
Nah,
and
dude.
And it is like, it makes the Gen Zers look fucking dope as shit, you know? Like, whoa. They're like, whoa. In comparison. That's what my sister would say, because she works in school, and it's like, dude, these kids are fucked. Like,
you just wait, you know, within our lifetime when Gen Z is looked at as the boomers. Yeah. You know, when enough time goes by. That's what I'm saying. Like, it is a cruel fucking thing, this aging process. Because it does make sense. By the time you've seen the styles recycle themselves like 10 or 15 times, you're like, this is all bullshit. It's like, yeah, that's what they were saying when you were like 14. But you're not fucking listening because you're 14. Yeah. You don't know shit. But I'm like, dude, in our lifetime, Gen Z will be the boomers. They'll be like the old fucks with dumbass outdated ideas. And we're older than them.
Yeah,
it's bad news.
We're in that sweet spot.
Yeah,
where we'll be cool our entire lives.
Yeah, all you can do exactly. Yeah, what are the chances? All you can do is like try to massively overcorrect and try to like stay up to date with new music, which is like at a certain point. Like I think it's cool, but now it's happening. I'm starting to get the thing where this is pathetic. Like I'm convincing myself I like this stuff when I don't. I'm just kidding. It hasn't gotten there yet.
No,
but I'm having a hard time latching on to any new albums this year.
You like that new Kanye album, though.
I like Fantano's fucking...
his take on it.
His fucking 45-minute meltdown.
That motherfucker was abiding by no fucking anti-Semites in that chat, man. It was great.
No.
Not anti-Semites, I'm sorry.
Any of it.
Well, yeah, any of it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I didn't catch that video, but...
it was crazy.
Yeah. How was that song? Or is it an album?
He went through the whole album.
Oh. I didn't listen to the whole album. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I did listen to two or three tracks, and I was like, wow, this is fucking all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm trying to like separate all the shit, which is impossible because it's in the fucking lyrics.
Right.
It's in the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's like in the title of the album too, presumably, Vultures, right? Because you're like picking at someone else's.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like if what's his name had in Jeepers Creepers had put himself raping a kid, you couldn't ever be like, well, you got to separate the art from the artist.
Exactly.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. If that was in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Like if while Michael Jackson was doing the moonwalk, there was like a video of him fucking a kid in the back.
Yeah,
separate the art. Yeah.
Come on, you gotta separate. You gotta separate it, dude. Yeah, look.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of separating the art from the artist, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 411. We're gonna give you the info today.
We're gonna give you the info today. I don't know what he said. This is Ree.
How's it going?
This is Jacob.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's good.
Yeah?
It's going fantastic. Now that I'm here and decompressing.
Yeah?
With my people.
We got to warm up with a little Roadhouse chat.
Oh, man.
Kind of got it out. Yeah.
Got the hate blood out.
Exactly. We're ready. We're purged.
I highly recommend it.
Nope.
I do recommend a watch, but yeah.
Nah. Let it go to obscurity immediately. Except I recommend watching, seeing how ripped Jake Gyllenhaal is. I recommend a supercut of that and the stupidity of Conor McGregor on YouTube, which should be there soon.
Doing his little lines and his walk. Man, it's great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yo. Okay.
Can we talk about, I didn't bring it up on the pre-show because I wanted to. This bridge thing, right? This Baltimore bridge.
Crazy thing. Dude.
Fucking dude, I was staying up late, as I tend to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And that shit happened at like 1:30 in the morning, and I was like, this is dope as fuck. But not literally, but I was just like, wow. Like, I'm glad I'm awake for this right now.
Well, you're not the only one alone. Even the mayor of Baltimore said it was like straight out of an action movie. That's literally what he said.
Well, it's just so fucking disheartening that the structural integrity of these fucking bridges that's point number one. It's so fucking bad that if a fucking boat hits one of the pillars, the entire structure falls.
Well, they
said those are London bridges, literally. Like, it's an old fucking bridge.
Yeah.
Very shitty structure.
I mean, the only thing I would say to the bridge engineers is, to be fair, that was a cargo ship hauling an absolute
950,000 tons
of fucking weight.
Which brings me to the second and potentially more interesting part. So,
okay,
you remember this fucking Leave the World Behind movie, yes. The Obama one, right? The Obama one. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, but everyone fucking went with conspiracy theories about cyber warfare and all this stuff that's pre-predicted programming, and there is admittedly some weird shit as far as like the part with the Teslas, and then the Tesla fucking thing happened. So now, of course, inevitably, conspiracy theorists are going fucking nuts connecting the film, because there's a part in there with the fucking boat.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not exactly the same, but the boat, there's a cyber attack which causes the boat to lose power. So people are breaking down this fucking video of the boat, and all the lights shut off. So now they're like, it looks like a fucking cyber attack. And then they're speeding up the video to see the ridiculous turn it makes into the fucking pillar, right? It's pretty fun. You should look into it.
So stupid.
Well, it is pretty uncanny stuff. It's fun shit. But I fucking love that conspiracy theorists have just, in less than 24 hours, they're like, oh, here it is.
But yeah. You're right, dude. It literally just taps the fucking bridge support and it goes down like a sack of flour.
It is not, like, I've never thought about this before, because it's like, oh, well, the boat's going to go in between. Everything's good. But what if it didn't? Oh, it's going to go in between. Like, you know, but no, if it doesn't, the whole bridge is coming down.
The whole thing just got, it's gone. It's not even, and it's not even one of those things where, like, they were given enough notice to be like, you know, the structure's kind of falling down. You know, you might want to, you know, it literally goes down in seconds.
Yeah.
Which is mind-boggling.
Yeah, and it's fucking crazy to see, too, because it's so much material, and the video is from a distance, but you can see that quite a bit of it is still not submerged, because it's so much fucking like metal.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and it, supposedly there was 20 people that were missing from what they were saying. So like 6 or 8 carloads of people, which is
well, awful. I think they verified it 6 people. 6 fatalities.
Fucking now. Terrible, man.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Just
say, thankfully, it's at 1:30 in the morning, because it would have been fucking, you know.
Yeah, I think they were working on the bridge. They like managed to block all the roads before it happened. It
sounds like you're about to go, but like fucking imagine being that car. There's a car in the video that goes there at like a few seconds before the fucking boat hits, and it's on the right side of the bridge, and it just gets over it.
You're
and
like, within, woo!
Yeah, within like 10 seconds, it's like fucking a Roland Emmerich movie for real. You know, like they fucking literally, they drove over it right as the fucking shit was collapsing on the other side of it, which is pretty dope
for them.
For them,
yeah.
But yeah, you guys gotta fucking fix these bridges, man. That's it. Like that's and if there's gonna be more cyber attacks, I mean, come on. Solar flares.
The yeah. United States is nothing if not behind on their infrastructure repairs historically.
That's fucking not good. That's a bad thing to be behind on, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
when you're one of the richest countries in the fucking world, fix the fucking bridge.
I mean, you know, you can't even get motherfuckers to fix, you know, potholes in the roads, let alone giant bridges. You know, and that motherfucker's miles long, if I'm not mistaken. 1%
doesn't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't use roads, you know.
But anywho, that's a huge tragedy for people that fucking died on that. On that motherfucker.
Yep.
Well, way to bring it down, dude.
I just think you should all, you know.
Never go on a bridge again, basically.
By this point, if you haven't Googled the fucking stuff, go for it, man.
I'm scared of bridges. I'm scared of Boeing. Like, I'm fucking.
It's not. I'm just scared of human hubris and obliviousness. Because it's like the same thing over and over again. Like Chernobyl, the Titanic, Jurassic Park. Frankenstein, same fucking thesis. Like it's, Frankenstein. It's don't fuck with like you don't got this. It's like, oh, don't worry, we got this. Like you don't got it. You don't have it.
Frankenstein, fucking the werewolf man,
aliens, fucking Prometheus. Alien Covenant, and that's what I just watched, by the way.
You know, your scientists what's the saying? Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could.
They didn't stop to think if they should. And now you're packaging it.
Where's that from?
It's Jurassic Park, man. Oh.
It's fucking true, man. Cue the Pink Floyd guitar solo. What did you watch, Jacob?
Oof. Okay, so we did talk a little bit of Roadhouse. I watched that today at work. But before that, I did check out a little movie. I won't talk much about it. You mentioned this, I believe, the last recording. I finally saw Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh!
That was one of my more anticipated A24 releases this year. And just like you said, it's gritty, grimy.
How many fucking hardcore horror hounds did you piss off with that sentence right now? One of my more anticipated A24 releases. They're all, fuck that.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Oh, no. Fucking like Blumhouse.
Dude, it's fucking cool. I love the small town crime thriller, you know, setting.
Yep.
New Mexico, it's, 1989.
Yeah, it makes you want to just take a shower afterward, but it's fucking dope. The synth score is one of Clint Mansell's best scores.
I forgot to mention the score. I knew you would love that score.
Yeah, and I was surprised it was him because it doesn't feel like his style.
I thought it was almost, I was like, is this One Trick's Point Never? Because it had that kind of feel.
Yeah, I was like, this or Atticus Ross, like him and his brother. But no, I was surprised who it was, and I loved it. The soundtrack too, just the songs they used, the 80s stuff. You know, I read this one Letterbox review that encapsulated it perfectly. You know, you see Kristen Stewart's mullet and you're like, whoa. And then you see Dave Franco's mullet and you're like, whoa. And then you see Ed Harris's mullet and you're like, whoa. Like, it's fucking crazy, dude.
It's like the fucking meme with the levels of the dude from... What, the WWF guy? What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, with Ed McMahon?
Yeah.
Ed McMahon? It's like no, Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, sir.
Dude, it was a fun
hi-oh.
Movie. Hey-o. Yeah. I'd say shave off like 15 minutes maybe somewhere in the middle, and besides that, it was fucking cool. I think both leads, the chemistry between them was awesome.
So do I.
And it was cool. I almost wish there was just a little bit more action, quote unquote action. You know, it's kind of like
a little bit more scissoring.
Some fucking great body horror shit in there.
It was,
though, right?
And you
and
know
that
what?
Dream sequence.
Yeah, and that's what made that art. Yeah, the dream sequence is just the artistic little direction, like that little quote unquote, like the little A24 moment of it making it body horror. Like the whole thing is grounded up until a certain point.
It gets surreal as fuck.
Yeah, and I love it.
Exaggerated.
I think it lost a lot of audience.
Is
members.
That still just in theaters?
Yeah, probably like what, two showings a day, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be on HBO Max soon.
That'll be a home view for me.
Yeah, it's tight.
Worth your time.
Then I'm finally, it's taken me a year, but I'm halfway through the Three Body Problem book. I love it. It is like super hard sci-fi, existential dread, and it's fucking really, really good, man. I mean, I've never been so just nose deep in a book, because I don't read as
much
anymore.
Aren't you kind of sick of that kind of stuff? Don't you want something more like Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Don't you want something a little bit more whipped cream kind of, dude? What the fuck?
People who liked Roadhouse would maybe like The Three Body Problem on Netflix.
the Netflix one.
So, I'm halfway through the movie, so I'm not going to binge watch the show. But I did watch the first episode of the Netflix series and the first episode of the Chinese produced series that's already existed for a few years. And Peacock picked it up, which is genius to compete with Netflix because it's fucking 30 episodes.
Peacock's on their shit.
They know what they're doing. Yeah. And, dude, going back and forth and comparing it with the book, and I know you got to keep it separate, but you got to keep them separated, dude.
Fuck. It's Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah, it's D&B or whatever.
Holy
is that what they are?
Shit.
Or D, whatever they're.
But the Chinese one is
it's beat
much
for beat,
better.
Exactly like the book. 30 episodes, 40 minutes each. It's going to cover every chapter perfectly, with some small exceptions I'll get into. And then meanwhile, it was 8 episodes, Netflix series. Holy fuck. It is like the most dumbed down shit. Like we were tearing into True Detective Night Country, and it really was treading this territory. And it was only reinforced that this guy Reaper on YouTube, who made one of the most hilarious True Detective just rips.
Hilariously on, offensive.
Yeah, hilariously offensive rips on True Detective. Did one for Three Body Problem. And I didn't want to spoil the book, so I only watched like 2 minutes of it, and it nailed it. And it's like the most unbelievable Americanized, like white savory, just... It's bullshit. It loses all of the hard sci-fi.
Well, the thing I want to ask you is, why is it okay if someone else is a savior, but once it's a white guy, you have a problem with that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I was.
Well, you know what, dude? You're right. We really haven't had enough of those in our lifetime. Exactly. You know what? We need more.
Like, dude, do you ever watch or listen to Ben Shapiro? He's got a lot of good.
You know what we need, dude? We need a we need a brown savior at some point.
Need more brown savior.
We need brown and saviors. Brown and yellow saviors. There you know, go. We gotta have both ends absolutely of the spectrum.
Yeah. Mm. But like the book is
yellow saviors.
It's a Chinese novel. It was released years ago and then recently translated. Now it's a hit in the U.S. market. And you know, a lot of it has to do with the Cultural Revolution, and then it jumps to the present, and it all takes place in China. And this one is like London based and super international.
London.
International, yeah. Playboy.
What?
Sorry. That's a Smith song.
The book
you like them.
You would love this book, Jorge. It feels like you're reading like a book version of Arrival.
Is there an audiobook?
100%. Yeah, it's on Spotify.
A book version of Arrival sounds horrible.
No,
to me. I want the 2-hour film version.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's fucking. It's just weird because it feels like, you know, you're stuck between these two versions. You either watch the dumbed down Americanized version or you become the Chinese nationalist and watch the fucking fuck. Chinese version, which is what in my criticism, the Chinese version.
Oh,
is,
it's 13 hours, boy.
Yeah, that's for you, dude.
But the Chinese version did take out some of the Cultural Revolution shit. So it's kind of like they like censored it, you know, like they don't want to mention like the horrific past of the Maoism and shit and the Mao Zedong and all that and all the fucking barbarism, you know.
The Chinese version took that out?
Yo, yeah. Barbarism.
But then like the American versions is extreme where it's almost exploitive, where they wanted to like show this fucking hardcore brutality of
the Cultural Revolution. Anti-Chinese propaganda.
Yeah, and then they were like, okay, but let's not like justify it because we don't want the Chinese scientists solving this problem. Let's have the Americans and the London people do it.
It's like the Martian, dude.
Yeah.
I have a book of poems by Mao Zedong that I found at a thrift store with my mom.
No.
I do, and that guy... That guy can write some poetry.
Is it like a little red book or something?
It's not red, no. It's just it's the poems of Mao Zedong, dude. It's great shit.
But you know,
it's like Kim Jong Il, like fucking writing poems. You know, it's great.
So
this starts off sick.
Is that which one's that?
The Three Body Problem.
The Chinese one.
The book.
The book, yeah. Just watch the first 10 minutes of the American show. And then immediately just watch the Chinese one on Peacock instead of Netflix. And if you want to just watch, you don't want to read the book. But dude, the book is fucking like life changing, like insane fucking just hard sci-fi. All of the theoretical sciences and all the philosophy behind it. It's the existential like horror of it all. And
cognitive science.
It's the stakes are so high, and they nail it a little bit in the Chinese show. And then it's for me to just believe that these are your scientists in the Netflix series that are like you have a scene of a scientist committing suicide, and it's horrific. And then it smash cuts to a drunk bitch in a bar singing karaoke. Mm. And it's like, okay, like, you're not taking like any of this seriously, like in the book. Like they didn't have any comedic bits or moments. You don't have these hip scientists that are dealing with like really like world-ending issues that are just like in a bar drinking, saying fuck every other word. Mm. It's like super edgy and Americanized, and it's, I don't know. I'm not a fan of this Netflix.
You had mentioned, I think probably like 2 years ago, this book to me.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's taken me a while.
You were anticipating the adaptation.
It's also like how they said with Dune, like really, really, really hard to adapt because it might be a little boring, but like if you're into that nerdy science shit, it's really engaging. And
well, I mean, obviously they're taking from the novel here, but it's like just this opening line. Astrophysicist who sees her father beaten to death during a struggle session in the Chinese Cultural Revolution.
And the Netflix does capture that, and it's brutal, and I love it, but they don't really go, they don't do much with it. And it almost feels like they wanted to film that scene and then create a show around it, because all of the modern day stuff is nothing like the book. They changed half of the book. And meanwhile, the 30-episode Chinese series is way more faithful, way more engaging for... it's not that accessible for mainstream audiences, but I highly recommend it.
This is the sort of thing that I feel like I'm so ignorant with history, because looking at this struggle session stuff...
It's fucking hardcore,
I can't even... I've never even heard of this.
Me too, and I felt bad. It's kind of like when I watched the Watchmen HBO series. I didn't know shit about Tulsa, and then I looked into it. I'm like, oh my god, a massacre! And then this show, like the Cultural Revolution, I spent like 3 hours before I started the book just researching the Cultural Revolution, how fucked it is, and it's great because the parallels with that in the book with the modern day shit, and all of that's lost in the Netflix.
This is like modern day tar and feathering, basically. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
the Netflix has a very beautiful budget.
And yeah,
it looks nice, but
so that's another reason to be happy where you live. So,
you got, well, you know, earlier, you know, we were talking about society.
Right,
right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Doc.
That's what I've been trying to say, homie.
You make fun of it when I say it, but now you on the level. Now you, well.
Last thing I saw, and then
wow,
you can jump in here, Jorge, because we both also saw this recently. I finally saw BlackBerry.
Oh,
and what a surprise!
He's good.
As far as like geek history biopics go, like this is the fun one. It's not like better than Social Network, but it's like really fun.
That's why I was trying to push that on people, like all last year, because I know it's. I'm not saying it's a tough sell, but kind of.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Why would that be interesting?
I'm sure they took many liberties. They even said that in the very beginning that it's a fictionalized retelling. Inspired by quote. They even put in quotes true events, and I love that they set it up. You can just kind of, you don't have to nitpick at that point and just enjoy this retelling of it. And dude, if you're a goddamn nerd of like PC gaming culture of the late 90s, there's like half of the movie is just the most fun callbacks.
Well, it's in the same vein as like the Tetris movie and the Jordan movie
Air, but better than either of those.
Well, okay. I actually like the Tetris movie quite a bit.
I like all three of them. I think all three of those were good last year.
The only thing I didn't like about the BlackBerry movie is it skips a lot of stuff. Like there's a massive time jump. Like 10 year of stuff that they're like, wait. Now they're just moving into a giant building. Like,
it's just
slow down. Like, let's see.
Here's the rise, and then here's the fall. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked a little bit more of because. Yeah, man, the BlackBerry was crazy. I remember having a BlackBerry, and it was like, dude, this is the fucking coolest thing. Oh, fuck. There's
all of that, and then, like, the introduction of Wi-Fi, which was fucking very educational for me. But then, like, as far as just a film, like, regardless of what liberties they took, the structure, the pacing of it, the humor, like, the movie's really funny.
His friend, the one with the headband, that's the fucking director.
That's the director.
I didn't know that. That was crazy.
And he did it. I forget what this other film he did. One of the listeners, Jacob Seaver, our very own Jacob Seaver, he said
the one and only.
Yeah, he loved the director's previous movie. But anyway, the fucking dude from That Sunny in Philadelphia, which I never got into that show.
Yeah, Glenn Howerton.
He's fucking, just like, goddamn, you know, Jorge was mentioning via text to me the other day. When he shows up, you want to hate this corporate guy. He's fucking dope. Like, it's because it's extremely entertaining, and he's getting shit done because these fucking stoners aren't like, you're just not.
Yeah, they need each other. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, ultimately, you see sort of like the downfall of that type of mentality. But in the film, when you're kind of in the middle of it, you're like, holy shit, man, he's getting shit done.
Extremely entertaining from the outside. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's a great dichotomy to witness.
Yeah, you know.
And then like his buddy though is like. The headband guy, the director, is like, dude, you're letting them fucking take us over. You know, it's a great role for Jay
Baruchel. But at the same yeah. time, Jay Burchell, he's one of my favorites.
That's what you said recently.
I fucking love that dude. Like, pretty much anything he's She's in.
She's Out of My League. You like that movie?
I love it. I love it. I love it, dude. The fucking...
Oh, the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Nicolas Cage.
I love it.
What? He was in that? He was the Sorcerer's Apprentice?
He's the apprentice.
Dude, I fucking love that dude.
Okay. They were trying to give him the... Like, here, it's your turn.
He's in The Goon, which I really like.
He was in that, too.
He was.
I just know him as...
Right. He's in
This Is the End, which I really, really love. That's how I know him
from. And then, like, his character gets, like, the butt end of all the jokes because of...
Yeah. So I love that actor. He's fucking great.
How do you think he did in this?
I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
The wig that they've got him wearing is a little bit off putting. Yeah. I almost wish they would have just done something with his own hair.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's just nitpicky bullshit. It's a great film.
Yep. Yeah. Very entertaining. Very educational.
It'll surprise everyone from
the opening credits. I'm like, I'm in. This is dope.
You will never know like how good this movie is until you watch it. Like even the trailers don't do it justice. I was so surprised by it, and it's paced where it's very rewatchable and fun. Yeah,
this is one of those things too where this is literally in our timeline that the rise and fall of BlackBerry happened.
Can you say that again?
I'm sorry. What?
Literally.
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 When the iPhone, when Steve Jobs does this, like it's a phone. It's a music player.
That's great, yeah.
It's an internet device. And I remember seeing that fucking presentation live.
That was it.
And I'm losing my mind watching this on my computer. And then it's like, fuck, I remember this moment. And that was for those guys,
it was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, they were done.
Yep. This shit's over for you.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
BlackBerry, what else?
That's all I saw. What else did you see?
Ronnie and I started a show with Toni Collette, and I am. It's a Netflix show, and I'm having. Hold on one second, because Pieces of Her. It's from 2022.
Oh, that shit's a mistake.
it kind of is. So. I went into it and I was like, it's Toni Collette. How bad could it be?
Man,
because, you know.
You'd be surprised.
You would be surprised. It's not very good. So the first episode is actually really, really good. And there's stuff that happens and it's incredible.
Mm.
There is a scene at a diner in particular that's very brutal with some people getting killed. But then,
like the Fisher King.
But opposite.
Okay.
And then the show just kind of loses steam after that. We're like episode like 3.4 in.
Is it a drama?
It is. It is like a crime drama.
Okay. God damn.
It's a woman and her daughter who are in witness protection.
Okay.
And the opening scene, basically it happens in a diner and this sort of like disgruntled husband kills a bunch of people, and the scene is crazy. He's just shooting people in the face, and it's like, whoa, fuck, what's happening here? And then, like, the rest of the show,
yeah,
it's fucking boring. Mm. But we're gonna finish it, obviously, because you know, we is who we is.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's been taking up some time, and also BlackBerry. I watched BlackBerry. I hadn't watched X-Men: Last Stand. When I was talking about my X-Men rewatch recently.
Part 3, Brett.
Holy! That son of a bitch is terrible.
They fucking single-handedly.
It's too much.
Yeah, and X2 ended so fucking dope.
Yep.
With a great cliffhanger ending. And it's like, fuck, we got ourselves like a grade A franchise from X-Men now. And then all of that shit was destroyed.
Yeah.
Literally!
Yeah. X2 could have changed the course of like superhero movies.
Fuck yeah.
Forever.
Dude, it all ended with Harambe, dude. Once Harambe died, it's over.
Oh.
What?
That's 2016.
I know.
Yeah. X-Men 3, not good.
Not good.
You like the anonymous, nameless mutants with tattoos in the woods?
I love them, dude. I fucking love them, dude. That shit's
dope. And the bad guy is Magneto again. Because why
wouldn't you? It's either Magneto or Sentinels. And you know, you
Juggernaut sucks.
Juggernaut sucks.
Fuck.
Wolverine kind
of
sucks. That might
have been the first instance of cashing in on a fucking meme in a movie.
Yeah.
That was like never before.
But dude, there's a scene like post Dark Phoenix in this thing where where Wolverine where Logan is like in this like hospital room. After that scene, Professor X, Xavier, like goes to fucking Wolverine and he's like, I warned you about this. And it's like, bitch, you caused this problem. What the fuck are you talking about? You're the one, bro. Yeah. Anywho, fuck that movie.
Yeah, fuck that movie. Sophia. Hi, Sophia. She and I went last second this weekend. She sent me this flyer, this big vegan food truck festival in L.A. And she's like, I want to go to this. And it was a Saturday because Saturday's her Friday when she sent it to me. I was like, we can go. We can go tomorrow. Like, just, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. And so we drove up there and it was fun. We like, and great fucking donuts, all this good stuff. And then like we were in town and then it was like, I just looked the AMC thing to see what was playing. And fucking Dune Part 2 had a showtime at 6 p.m. in 70mm IMAX.
Ooh, and this only 30 of those theaters in the world.
In the world. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I'm texting because Sophia was immediately in. But I was like, I got to work tomorrow and all that stuff. Which, you know, there's something wrong with me if I'm thinking that way. But then I texted Jacob and you to see, hey, should I prioritize this? Because convince me. But as soon as I just did a little bit of Googling, one of only 30 theaters like that, I'm like, fucking,
yeah,
this is stupid not
to go. And it's fucking wild that there's two in L.A.
Yeah. Well, and it's fucking, it's to live and die in L.A., dude. Mm. But
Bad Boys, Ride or Die, dude.
Yeah, this was the City Walk. Exactly. This was the Universal Studios City Walk fucking theater. And I've been to it before, but not.
Me too, but I didn't know that I had that format. That's cool.
Yeah, this IMAX 70mm fucking thing for Dune Part 2
was... Yeah, how was that, dude? How did it look?
It was something else, dude.
Yeah.
It really was.
I'm sure
you could see people's pores in their face.
The texture of it, yeah. Yeah. It's the highest resolution format ever achievable, like, in film right now.
And it was great because it's like a month out at least, right? And the theater was almost sold out because it's that movie, it's LA and it's that theater. Mm-hmm. So it was a fucking packed crowd. And then a lot of the conversation afterwards, I could hear a handful of people right around us saying this was the second or third time they watched it. So that was cool. I mean, you're in fucking LA with film dorks seeing this fucking movie.
That screen, when you did a quick little video of it.
Yeah.
That fucking screen is huge, man.
It was huge. We don't got fucking shit here,
dude. Yeah, dude, it sucks.
Yeah. But so that was incredible. And then Sophia, for some reason, I forget where it came from, she wanted to rewatch the Alien movies. And it was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, we can do that.
She's down. You're like, okay, I'll put everything down right now.
Oh, it came from Prometheus because I was talking about Prometheus and she didn't remember shit, like any of it.
Okay.
And it was like, and then so I turned it on, and then she didn't remember any of it while we're watching it. And then she's like, no, you showed me like a fucking YouTube cut of the movie with like the highlights. And I was like, that's a fucking mistake. So I was like, if we're going to do the Alien franchise, let's watch them all in order. Like in
chronological.
Which I haven't done before.
Yeah.
So we watched Prometheus and Alien Covenant one night. And then we watched Alien and Aliens last night. And, you know, newsflash, it's fucking dope, right? Alien Covenant, I think it's aging pretty fucking well. I love a lot of stuff, but that
Hammer Films, like, version of Aliens.
It's fucking crazy,
I like, dude. The gothic
and
shit.
The Bloodburster, the gothic thing, the fucking, like, satanic fucking undertones with David.
Shit.
All that shit's,
I mean,
dope.
Like the little baby Zeno with the little hands doing, like, that was like a little weird, but besides that, you know.
I didn't understand why that got memed so hard because it's not like a big moment to me. But
yeah.
The thing is, the worst part of fucking Alien Covenant is when the Xenomorph comes out because it's like an Alien's greatest hits. It's like, oh, here's a big fucking robotic claw.
I was fine with the Neomorph, the little, the white one, the pale one.
The white one. Yeah.
Well, it's just too rushed. Cool, and then it's like, okay, then they're like tracking him in the fucking, the ship, and it's like they dispense of this fucking xenomorph in like 15 minutes. And it's like then they blow him out of the airlock. It's like we've seen all that before.
Yeah,
and it's so fucking weird that you would rush all that shit.
Yeah,
but then it has a great fucking ending, with David and the fucking embryos. It's
cool. Yeah. I appreciate Ridley Scott making directing three very distinctly different films.
I agree.
It's cool. Yeah.
And all of the, and Prometheus, I know we've talked about it before. Look, though, it's not just the snake scene. Almost all of the dialogue, the entire
Idris Elba with this, like, this is like the first Idris Elba movie I might have ever seen.
Yeah.
Maybe like American Gangster, but he was small role.
It's goofass.
And he's doing
the first third of the movie is goofass.
The Texas thing, and then Charlize Theron is so underutilized.
Economy Tom Hardy fucking sucks, her boyfriend. He keeps, oh, don't worry, baby.
And that's not even his acting stuff.
And it's Damon Lindelof, the fucking guy who wrote like Star Trek Into Darkness and shit.
Lost.
But the thing is, it's like in many ways, it's the opposite of Covenant, like, because then it gets to where it's going and it's fucking dope and it gets better and better and better. And the less they talk, the better it is. Like the visual stories.
It's weird how that worked out. In the end, it still worked out. Yeah,
because the production design is fucking amazing. The whole fucking Ridley's whole preoccupation with creation and killing your parents and all that shit, all the shit.
Yeah, it justified dope. The engineers. Like, it was like the perfect. Origin of like the engineers and shit. It's cool.
Yeah. And then what remain, you know, Alien and Aliens, obviously we've got episodes on those, but fucking dude, I Aliens is something else, dude.
It sure fucking is, man.
It really is, dude. Once it gets to, well, there's a few things, but once it gets to the fucking facehugger scene, and then there's like, then they fucking cut the power and it goes like to the red lighting. And then that happens, and then they're in the fucking, like, air vents, and then fucking Nuke falls into the water, and then, like, she goes in and fucking fights the queen, or sees the queen, and then, dude, it's just ridiculous. Like, he's got so much, all his fucking hardest shit is in the last 45 minutes.
I can only imagine when you saw that in theaters for the first time, you had no idea how it was going to end, and it ends on, like, the most epic proportions you can ever imagine.
Well, dude, it sounds like making it up. Like, she gets in a fucking robot cargo suit and fights a queen alien. It's like, you're making shit up.
Well,
that's the thing. He was. And it's dope.
And it's dope as fuck.
And James Cameron's like, this is canon now. You know, this is it.
When he doesn't try to, like, fucking beat Ridley Scott at his own game. He's like, I'm not going to do another gothic horror movie. Yeah. Like, that's not. And also, he just done Terminator. He's like, that's not my.
Yeah,
not
my thing.
Not my strengths.
Yeah.
You know?
I like robots.
Yeah. I like this shit. But Sophia's ranking.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, dude.
Although, I
love,
dude,
all the movies for a different reason.
I don't hate it, and it's her ranking.
I can't get down on her too much because I'm kind of like, well.
Yeah, she her ranking is Aliens.
Dope.
Prometheus.
Crazy.
Alien Covenant.
Crazy.
And then Aliens.
Crazy.
Because so she says she recognizes Aliens a masterpiece, but she thinks it's dated. And
true.
True. And I could see. Again, when I'm watching Alien the whole time, I'm like, I can't believe this is 79 because it's my filter the whole time. And I think it has the best shots of the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like fucking art.
Well, I mean,
the guy in the suit thing
she is 100% right. Aliens basically is perfect. It doesn't feel dated ever.
There's a couple shots with blue screen. And that's it.
Honestly. Right. Well, I mean, but that's the technology that's like dated. But there are things in Alien that you're like, like, this feels dated now.
For sure.
But Aliens, that motherfucker just never lets up.
It doesn't. And it's fucking almost 40 years old now.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
But so now we're going to do Alien 3. And
Hell yeah, bro. We
saved the best for last.
You've got to watch them all. You got to watch all of them.
I'm not fucking watching Alien vs. Predator.
Yes, you are.
Well, then I already fucked up the chronological order because the first one would be Aliens vs. Predator.
You got to watch them.
It takes
place. Yeah, true. Yeah, not in the future.
In the 2000s and is fucking stupid.
Oh, but you also have to watch. Requiem? You also have to watch Predator.
No, we don't. She loves Predator. We watch Predator every year. She fucking loves Predator, dude.
Okay.
Same with Courtney. I think she likes Predator more than the Aliens franchise. But I think Prometheus might be her number one. I think
it's the fucking the four of the 80s, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking Aliens, Predator, RoboCop, Terminator. Those are the main four for me.
Yeah. I throw in Total Recall in there somewhere. That's 90.
Total Recall's fucking dope. It's like it's 1990. It's like, right, it's an 80s holdover.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But what else? That's it,
and
man.
That's all. Dude. It's all Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking crazy? With the exception of RoboCop, like Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, "Yeah,
well, you're aliens.
You're fucking youth. That's me, dude."
Yeah, Running Man.
It was Schwarzenegger and fucking Harrison Ford, dude. Yeah,
that's wild.
Indiana Jones, Han Solo, and Schwarzenegger. But she's really, really fucking into Villeneuve stuff right now, and she doesn't want to rewatch Prisoners because that movie really upset her. Which is, I'm like, yes, that movie's dope as fuck.
That's when you know it's working.
I'm glad that shit upset you.
She has not watched Sicario since it came out. Huh. We haven't watched it together, and she didn't understand that that's a Villeneuve movie. I'm like, well, not only is it a Villeneuve movie,
it's the
Villeneuve.
Yeah. Oh, she's lucky. She didn't get to see it with a new eye. It's
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, so that's next. So we're watching fucking Ridley Scott and Villeneuve.
You're like, Sicario and Alien Resurrection, double feature. Let's go.
I wanted to watch Sicario last night, but it made sense to keep going with the alien thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fucking dope.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you gotta watch The Trash. That's great.
Yeah, we gotta watch Alien 3 and fucking Resurrection, dude.
Think of a graphic novel, and it's based off the original script of Alien 3. Which is like 4 original scripts out there, but
did you see that thing I sent you?
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous. The graphic novel I have isn't that script.
Oh my god, dude, this thing is a fucking mess. That's right, Alien Resurrection is terrible,
and it's crazy because she loves Amelie, which lady doesn't? And that's the same director as that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite aesthetics, though. It takes the Alien 3, like, rustic thing to, like, a cool level, and everything's kind of wet and shiny.
Well, it's such...
Everything else is...
Well, it's such a stylized franchise. Yeah. Like, they have fucking... I mean, dude, even the misfire because of studio interference and all that, and Fincher's first movie. But you got fucking Ridley Scott, James Cameron, David Fincher, and Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Oops. Yeah, it's fucking so random.
They got the swimming fucking xenomorphs, man. Get out of here.
Trash.
But like
CGI swimming xenomorphs.
But like good.
When he's like upside down in the fucking ladder with the two guns.
You got a fucking lame ass joke filled fucking script by Joss Whedon. Did you know that?
Who are you expecting? Santa Claus?
Holy fuck. He goes Alien Resurrection and then takes 4 years off and then does Amelie. Holy shit, he's like, bro.
No more of this.
That's crazy, right?
Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's it for what we've watched. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back to talk about a film. Good. Bro, you like Crankwave?
I like Crankwave a lot.
Me too, dude.
I don't like the... Well, do you like that they call it Crankwave?
No, I don't like the genre name. I like the music.
Yeah. Me too. You know what else I like?
Being back?
No.
Oh.
I like www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
You got it.
We're back! you can join the Patreon and you help us do the show.
You don't help us do the show.
You kind of help us do the
show. You help us facilitate us to do the show.
Yes. You can donate $1, $3, $5, $10, $20. You get bonus content. You get the episodes early. You get access to the Discord. You get a nice little holiday card.
Well, and holiday card. It's a card.
It's a card. This will be the first year where we'll move away from the Christmas card.
It's a mystery what holiday it falls on. You know?
Yeah. It'll be a Christmas card, but whether or not you get it around like Valentine's Day or President's Day, whatever.
Or St. Patrick's
Day. Just know that it's a Christmas card, but may or may not show up around Christmas.
Yes.
But be thankful for that, bitch.
Yes. And thank you to all our Patreon. We haven't done any shout outs.
We haven't had one in a little bit. We've shouted out the ones that we've got.
No, I know, but
you just mean like shout out.
Yeah.
Me, Aaliyah.
I want to give a shout out to DJ Ace Ventura. He does trans psychedelic fucking music worldwide. Uh-huh, uh-huh, and he does these dope ass things. And I hope things are going well wherever you're living the posh life. And thank you for listening. He's not a Patreon member, but he listens. So that's fucking dope. Who else? There's my German friend.
Oh, as a German.
Is it German? I hope he's... Hey, I need to ask if he's seen Zone of Interest.
Oh, God.
No. You have any shout-outs you want to do?
I like the Discord homies right now. They're all just having a good time.
It's a good dude. It's we're in our like most chill and most like informative era of the Discord. It's good.
Praising Blood and Honey.
No weird cops.
Yeah, we got
patrolling.
Whoa! I patrol. I just don't. There's nothing. They're not breaking any laws, man. And I have emojis. If someone says some dumb shit, I can put a fucking emoji. Like, wow, that was dumb. No, I'm just kidding. Coop, Flaming Satchel, Ashley, Cannibal Man, Brosif. I'm missing a lot.
Poutini Weenie.
No Mike, only Zool, of course. Northern California,
Michelangelo.
Elder Statesman.
Yeah, he truthfully is, man.
Hans Gruschen. Is our King Hans, the beloved
Hans Gruber.
King Hans, who has some truly mind-blowing fucking takes.
He does have baffling movie tastes. It's crazy.
It's fucking like you can't.
But he's consistent, man. That's like what I'm saying. You can't fuck with that.
Consistent.
Drewy boy. I'm missing a few. We got the new individual who came on with fucking Communion, which is fantastic.
It's not like Seaver who fucking changes his fucking mind like a goddamn light switch.
Hey man, I love that guy too. I do
too, man.
I've never met him, but
he's very pleasant in person.
He's always welcome. Yeah.
Yes, always. He's a cool welcome. Dude.
Even if he may or may not be paying for his Patreon.
That's fucked up, dude. That's not John W. Yes,
we gotta cull that fucking list.
Well, that's no equity, right? That's an equity issue because other people. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't need to cop this up right now, right?
Alrighty, idiots. Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2024's and 2023, depending on what you're talking about. Late Night with the Devil, directed by Cameron and Colin Cairns, also written by these two fellers, starring David Dasmalchian, Laura Gordon, Ian Bliss, Faisal Bazzi, Ingrid Torelli, Riz Auteri, Josh Kwong Tart, Georgina Haig, Steve Muzaikis, Gabby Sue, Christopher Kirby, Paula Arundel, and then Michael Ironside for some voiceover stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's seen the trailer for this son of a bitch. It was out in theaters for a brief time, and it'll be coming to streaming pretty soon.
Most likely, yeah. It's Shudder. Yeah.
Shudder acquired the rights.
Coming in first place with the most production companies attached to a film is Late Night with the Devil. Holy fuck.
That's one of my top notes, man. Way too many production logos.
People were laughing in the same theater. Here. I thought it was part of like the joke of the movie.
It would not stop. I think it was eight total.
The first one comes up and I was like, oh yeah, here we go. Because it was like a 70s thing. Yeah. And I was like, and I leaned over to Ronnie. I'm like, fuck yeah, here we go. Yeah. And then it was like, production company. Production company. Production company. Production company.
And there are nuns you've never heard of before. And then you're like, okay. Yeah.
There was one cool one that was like an 8-bit like
a zombie something.
Yeah, like an 8-bit zombie thing. I was like, oh shit, these guys are fucking. And it's like,
it just keeps going. I'm like, is this a money laundering scheme, dude?
Fucking crowdsourcing, dude. Yeah. Everyone wants their piece of the pie.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm an executive producer now. I got to create a cool company.
You have
logo.
To, and it's they're probably all done with AI anyways. But... Jacob,
whew.
What'd you think of this film, brother?
So this movie gained a lot of steam last year when we were doing our top films of 2023. This made on a lot of film critics' lists because they had the chance to catch this during its film festival circuit. So there's a little hype build around that, at least within our circle. And we've been really looking forward to it. And you know, seeing a lot of this uptick of Shudder acquired film being shown in theaters. It's pretty cool. We're in this weird renaissance of like lower budget indie horror movies, and getting to experience that in theaters is pretty unique. I will say this movie, just real quick, the first third incredibly strong. Michael Ironside lubed me up with like the fattest expo dump in history. And the tension just kept building. You're watching in real time, a fucking recording of a late night talk show. And unfortunately, as the movie progressed, I start seeing these cracks forming. And by the end, there is a massive tonal shift. And I feel like this film kind of trips over some of its own rules. And by the end, I just wasn't sure what type of horror movie they were trying to achieve here. And I just think the found footage angle, what I thought was a great artistic decision, to me feels more like a budgetary restraint. And
when is it not?
Yeah, I know, true too. Yeah, and I thought this was gonna be that case where I'm like, you know what, this found footage movie, this is one of the good ones, but it really didn't end up like that for me. And the movie's all edging and no gooning, you know, as they say,
all facts, no cap.
Yeah, something like that. Were you edging or were you gooning, dude?
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I think almost the exact same way. The opening sequence is unbelievable. I think the info dump with Ironside, my man, it's fantastic. The pseudo found footage thing is popping off very early on. I do have one thing to say about our main actor. I think if we had put somebody in there that was not a recognizable actor, we would have a little bit more of a Blair Witch situation where you could lose yourself in the idea that this is real footage. Not that I would ever be like, oh, this is unreleased footage, but it would help me kind of like live in the world a little bit more. He's fantastic. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he's bad in this role. I just think it's a weird decision to put somebody who we've seen in fucking, you know, millions of roles. Anywho, you are right, man. When it gets to the end, I have some serious things that I need to talk about and some things that I feel like were super tacked on to me and kind of like a rush decision based probably on budgetary things. But I think overall, this is a really, really fun theater movie. And if you have a chance to catch it in the theater, go do that.
Unless you don't have the AMC thing. Otherwise, do not waste your money. No, I'm just kidding. So I'd recommend seeing it in theater too. And I'm a little fucking surprised by both of yous.
Yeah, we should probably let the listeners know. We don't talk to each other about the movies we've seen before the recording. We never tell each other, for the most part, like what we think. So
unless it's trash.
That's a good fucking little segue. Yeah, when I started with, when Jorge and Matt were on the show, and I tried to text them about it, they're like, no, save it for the show. And I was like, why? And then I got here to the show, and it was like, oh, I feel like I've already said what I need to say, because I did. And so now, even though no one had heard it, it felt like I was fucking forcing it out again.
Yeah. I'm always on the edge of my seat too. I don't know what you guys are going to think of the film, but sorry, continue.
That's the fun.
Yeah.
So I really fucking enjoyed the movie, generally speaking. I'll agree with what you both said about the info dump, the lore with fucking Bohemian Grove. I'm super
in. Yeah, that stuff is, we can get that stuff. Unbelievable.
Real shit. I actually disagree about the actor. I think it's, I would have never guessed he could carry a fucking film like this, despite being a great supporting character. He's made a career of being freaky looking supporting characters.
Yeah. What's funny about it, he's actually a good looking dude.
Exactly.
But like, they do something to his hair that's like otherworldly.
It's his persona, and it's just because his features are odd, but they hang well together once you see him. That's what I mean. I didn't know he was this versatile, because why would I? You know, I hadn't seen him front a movie. And I think it's a good opportunity for him. I think it works out pretty well. So to address the fucking, look, I'm not a champion historically of found footage. This worked for me mainly because I never took it seriously as found footage. Yeah. I think the kitschiness of it being a TV show and the 70s created like this veneer of campiness, which I'm not usually all about camp, but if it works, it works. And it created like this fucking veneer for me where I could not take it as seriously. What I didn't like for me, and I know this is like, this is going to seem like nitpicking, the parts in between the major segments where it's black and white
segments. Yeah.
No, get that out of here.
I fucking thought pacing wise, it was great. And I actually was like fucking structurally looking at this as a script. Like this is, because again, it's a real fucking example of doing a lot with very little. There are budget constraints. So everything has to be structural. Right, but who's fucking following them around with the camera in black?
Right, they did. They, yeah. I think they even did a shot reverse shot, like it's a fucking traditional movie.
Yeah,
and it that was my complaint. I'm like, are you trying to sell it as a found footage movie? Not that we're always gonna have to suspend the disbelief of it and just enjoy it for what it is, but like it felt like it was really trying hard to feel as immersive as possible.
That's my main gripe.
It felt like fucking Oppenheimer.
That's my main gripe.
Fusion, bro.
is that it didn't quite figure out what direction it want to go. Like, does it want to be found footage or does it want to be a film?
Yeah. Well, I think, look, this is going to sound like a cop. I think it kind of did effectively blur the line a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. And where you guys are kind of, it sounds like the third act for you. I get there's some stuff we can get specifically about tacked on. The line blurring I thought was very fucking good, actually. When they had, like, the experiencing technical difficulties and the shit is melting, like, we've got a meta-narrative now. Like this is no longer, we're not, like... Also, there's the hypnosis thing that's introduced. When the hypnosis thing is introduced with the fucking demonic possession thing, like, I don't want to jump the gun. I was so happy the third act got where it went.
Okay.
I was happy it got there with the fucking demonic stuff. With the body horror stuff, with the power of suggestion stuff, and it made, I mean, it's not clear, there's some ambiguity, but I have a theory of why things happened the way they did.
I guess maybe I need to be more specific. I don't mean the third act. I literally mean like the last 5 minutes.
I got you with the wife.
That
part was not, that could have been rendered better.
Sorry, continue.
No, it's all right. No, I mean, I'm about to wrap up the initial thoughts. I thought the weak link of the movie initially when they introduced that character was the skeptic guy. That felt the most like low budget, unengaging. He's a needed character, but I felt like it really, he was not, it felt very forced when he showed up.
But so it does.
Yeah.
But this is a character that's based on.
Yeah,
reality.
Real skeptic guy. Yeah, what's
his name? Oh, no, I don't dislike the idea.
Well, but as shoehorned as he feels in the movie, it's literally what he did, like, in real life, where he would...
Well, just like this, the Satanic Temple guy is clearly based on Anton LaVey.
Right.
Yeah. Like, fucking definitely based on that. They just don't want to use the name.
Yeah. So the guy that this is based on would literally go to like Johnny Carson, that sort of deal, and would give these guys like...
Debunk this shit.
Well, yeah, he would be like, okay, well, if you can do it, I'm going to pour paper around this book that you can move with your mind, and I'll give you $500,000 if you can do it without disturbing the paper. Right. So these scenes are straight out of that script.
Right.
So I didn't mind... that stuff very much.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't mind that it's there. I just feel like it's not that interesting to watch as a film.
Got it.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, I get why it's there, and I think it winds up where it goes with him, and it's cool. It's based on the dude debunking it. It was just the flow of it was kind of just like, where are we going? And I was glad when it got to the girl and the fucking psychologist.
Yep.
Because it was like, okay, cool, you do have somewhere else to go.
You're actually doing something with this.
Right, yeah.
And I really enjoyed, too, Christu. I thought he was a really, really fun side character in this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the pacing of it, the build-up. Every guest he had on kind of contributed something, obviously, to the story. I just liked how real-time it was. The whole thing just felt like start to finish. You're really watching. You're there as an audience member, too. a live taping of the show.
That's where it goes with the line blurring to me. Mm-hmm. Like when it does, you know, hypnosis to the audience, mm-hmm. the home audience and the us.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's the, it's talking about fucking, in a sense, mass media and television there, because yeah. it was the first time you could fucking, get people on a mass scale to be manipulated that way. So, I mean, I like that they brought that fucking up. And then, yeah, I start feeling, I'm in the theater, and it was a pretty good turnout in our theater. I don't know how it was with your guys, but
we had 6 people.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We probably had about 20 people, and it was fucking, yeah, and it was cool. And, you know, that part, I started feeling, it feels like a fucking old school Outer Limits or Twilight Zone episode right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Which I'm fucking totally on board with. But as far as a theatrical experience for a film, you know, like, I was impressed with, even though it's low budget, I thought the production design was pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it's very minimal.
They really sold it, you know. And you could argue, you know, if you're like a fucking boomer who watched Richard Dawson, it might feel a little unbelievable to think that this guy was really close behind him in terms of TV ratings. Because, you know, was it Richard Dawson that he was competing with on the
numbers? Carson.
Carson.
Richard Dawson is fucking. He's a ball rat. Hey, Richard Dawson. Time to play the feud.
Whoa, where'd you rip that from, man? That's crazy.
I wouldn't get those two mixed up for some reason. Carson.
Because you didn't grow up with Carson like we did. I remember that shit.
But, you know, like when you look at Carson's like production value and everything, you're like, holy shit. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that he was right behind him in ratings. Yeah. But because I like the setup, you know, because back then there was only 3 major.
Damn, you're harsh, dude.
There's 3 major, like, broadcast you know, commercial programs, and this was the fictional fourth that's kind of competing with it. And I love that angle, and I think with the budget they had, they really, the authenticity of it was
I mean, it's basically like the Carson Letterman Leno thing, right? Like, yeah. You know, that to me, I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. I will say this, like, I do appreciate the fact that the special effects in this film are very much in the genre of like a 70s movie.
It feels like, I was like, oh, this is
it
bad,
felt of the time.
But they were like protected by also, yeah, like when you have distortion on the camera, it protects like the effects.
Yeah, but and
some of the effects look very 80s fucking practical effects.
Yeah, and I think I just maybe needed to tune some of my expectations of what it was. That's the thing. I really didn't know what it was trying to go for. I felt... Yeah. If like the horror felt very 70s, 80s in the final act, but the buildup of it was, it felt tonally much more serious, and I was so invested in it. And then it goes a little bonkers, and I mean, it's cool, but I just feel like they should have just leaned into one or the other. And I think ultimately it was supposed to be perceived as like how you watched it, you were kind of, you know, you could kind of relax your shoulder, not trying to be as immersive as possible.
No, but for me, I had to, and I have to with this kind of
But for me, I was like, with the intro with Michael Ironside, I'm like, oh, this is they're trying to do the first like Hell House, where it's really supposed to feel like a found footage thing, a taping with the behind the scenes. But then when you see the behind the scenes, it completely takes you back out of it. So I was just trying to figure out what they were going for, which you don't find out until the end. I'm like, okay, they're really trying to go for a little meta thing. It completely break. It makes its own rules. It completely, by the end, it's not found footage. It changes the camera and everything. And go ahead.
It's also like that's because I think
that laugh means he's about to say something that he thinks is dope as shit.
No, I don't think it's dope. I think I probably sound like I'm letting the movie off easy because it's doing something. Yeah, he's right. It's doing something I think is dope as shit. I don't think what I'm saying is dope as shit, but I think the movie, when it breaks its rules, like you're saying, I guess what you mean by that is not just a found footage thing, but is this demonic possession or is this hypnosis? Is that what you're talking about?
I just, you know, like, what is it trying to sell to the audience here?
Okay, so
what type of movie are they going for?
So to me, well, it's a genre, it's a horror movie.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But so to me, them introducing the fucking trope of hypnosis.
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, as a plot mechanism, it's meant, the guy introduces it to fucking debunk and show the power of suggestion. Mm-hmm. Which is a, like, that scene, I loved that fucking scene with the worms and the fucking, the worm coming out of the eye.
That's a good scene.
I like that shit. I like that shit. And mission accomplished. He debunked the thing. But then they start the playback of all this. But it's like, what does this have to do with the demonic possession? Now, for me, hypnosis and demonic possession are not mutually exclusive.
Hand in hand, dude.
Exactly. So hypnosis is a way of hacking into the subconscious, which the lair is already... Now, if you take... You put that over here, right? Meanwhile, over here, you have... It's All Hallows Eve. The veil is thin, right? According to all the narrative and the lore of fucking Halloween. You've got someone who's supposedly demonically possessed. When you have hypnosis going on in a room where an entity is already fucking there, and then you have a whole fucking group of people collectively watching this who get hypnotized, what you've done is created a fucking... You've opened the door wider. So he thinks he's debunking shit, but all he's doing is letting it in more, right? Okay. That's what I got. It's metaphysics. And then it's like, it's kind of like the same thing, you know, in Hereditary, like way back when we did that on the show, they're talking about, is it demonic stuff or is it family stuff? It's like, it's both. Like, they fucking go hand in hand. And this one, it's like hypnosis. I'm not saying hypnosis is supernatural, but it's a reductive way of dealing with the same fucking stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? So anyone from that framework is going to say anything demonic is some psychological issue, but all you've done is use different words. Like, they've just changed the language. So someone could still act fucking crazy and do all this shit, and whether you call them schizophrenic or possessed, all you've done is change the fucking... You didn't change the behavior. You just changed
the definition.
You changed the definitions, and you changed the story you're telling yourself about what you're looking at. Because either way, you're trying to control what you're looking at by giving a story to it. And that's dope.
Okay.
That's cinema, dude.
This is... And she fucking levitated. And he's like, well, the stagecraft was, like, immaculate. You know? And so... And then it does get meta, because the movie's doing stagecraft.
Also, guys, can I tell you... The skeptic in this movie was in a little film that we watched called Stealth.
And that's why he sucks.
It's illusions, dude.
Who was he in Stealth?
He was Lieutenant Aaron Shaftesbury.
That tells me nothing. Was he in the fucking computer room?
The hacker room with the neon seats? Is he Stealth, dude.
He is Stealth, bro. But yeah, man, I
that's my defense of those rule breakings. And then I'm like, once it does that, it's like it can't go anywhere but surrealism.
Yeah, and reality warping. In defense of two found footage too, the more immersive you make, to make a found footage movie, you are inviting more criticism. It's like the biggest double-edged sword in horror films is making your shit found footage. So to be fair to it all, but I don't know. I just I really do want to rewatch it, and I think ultimately it's kind of like a cozy, like, Halloween horror movie to watch on a TV. And I actually think it'll feel more immersive watching it on a television set because of the setting of it all.
That's where we differ. Like, I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm
like, cool.
I want to like it though, because I was fucking... I'm really, really sold on that first third of the movie. I actually liked all the non-horror shit, the world building. David Desmalchin, he fucking sells his character so well.
Yeah.
And to the point where, it's almost distracting how well he is and how much he stands
out.
That's
kind of what I was getting at. Like, he's so good that I'm like, he doesn't belong in this
movie. Yeah, you're either going to need an all-star cast or a bunch of nobodies.
Get somebody that sucks more.
Unfortunately. But yeah. For me personally, I think everything... would be, I don't know, I feel like I'm getting too hung up on the found footage part and I need to let that go. But I feel like if it wasn't found footage, I might have enjoyed it a lot more, because I saw some of the directing towards the end when it breaks that.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed with what I saw and I liked it, but it just didn't fit the movie that I was trying to enjoy, because I was on the edge of my seat. There was tension.
It doesn't fit the movie that they're selling in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. So like... those scenes,
it goes
where
off the rails.
It does go off the rails, yeah. And some of it isn't earned, unfortunately. Like, I think that those black and white scenes.
I agree.
If they had been from the perspective of like a really far camera, and it's just him mic'd up, would have been fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I want. I wanted like a peeping Tom, or what do you call, like a very behind the scenes, like documentary with subtitles, maybe. And I that would have felt great, and just had those little nuggets of story there.
Well, yeah, like if you had just caught, if you had just like, if they had just been panning over the scene where they finally shit, they finally shit.
If they showed someone taking a shit,
where they finally share with the audience what happened to Christo, but you had already found out that, like, you know, 2 minutes earlier, like, oh fuck, he's dead. But you saw that from, like, you know, 40 feet away, he's still mic'd up, that sort of thing. It would be a better bit. Unfortunately, that would make the ending suck even harder. Is the only thing about that.
So post hypnosis scene.
Yeah.
They're going to the playback, and then you know, that starts going the direction it goes. And then things go fucking totally haywire. The demonic possession thing comes all the way in. Her head splits. A bunch of fucking...
Which looks dope as shit.
Interdimensional demonic fucking energy comes out. And people's necks are getting cracked and all that shit. Dude, I mean, I'm not mad at that. I'm fine with all of that. It felt like that fucking Cabinet of Curiosities show a little bit.
This felt like like what we all want VHS to be in terms of quality.
What I'm fucking talking. Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, this does it right. Like, well, if you're gonna, it, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie, what the thing that I was like in 100% agreement with her. Like, end it right there.
Yeah.
Where he comes out of the hypnosis, yeah, and there's dead people on the stage. That's it. Stop it with the fucking wife stuff. Like, we understand, we get it that she died of cancer, and
it was connected to him fucking making a deal.
He made a sacrifice
bargain, which was great. Like, we met in the tall trees. Like, dude,
I was like, woo,
that's a fucking
True Detective shit.
That's a dope line.
Yeah, and stop it. He hits the stage, he sees everybody dead, end the movie right there. I do not need to see a fake bald cancer patient in a bed.
Really, like, hand-fed the exposition. Like, man. Michael Ironside, that's good exposition dump, a good setup. And then the end shit where they had to just explain everything, and I was...
Nah. Okay, what I did like was before that, though, where it had him time-jumping to different parts in his life on the show. Because from what I understand, the thing is, demonic stuff, besides getting your soul and all the stuff that happens, it fucking drives people insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it disorients him. And the thing is, like, so by the time he, you know, he thinks he's it's created this mental illusion that he's immersed in, that he needs to put his wife out of her misery, which is a fine scene. I just don't like how it was done. Yeah. I don't like how it looked. I don't like how, like, it was very, like,
It's a stage show,
basically. It feels very cheap in that part.
Yeah.
But then where it ends up, which is like he does one last fucking sacrifice with the dagger, which he wouldn't have done. And it's like he does that because he's in so many layers of cognitive distortion that he doesn't even know what the fuck he's doing. So that kind of stuff, I don't mind the idea of it. I don't mind that idea of it. And he says, dreamer awake, like that kind of fucking thing, because he can't tell what's real or what's not anymore. And then you hear the sirens. And it's like, this guy's going to go to fucking prison and or mental institution the rest of his life and be fucking insane, right?
Insanus.
So I don't mind all that. For me, it was the execution of the scene with the wife. It felt like, what did you call it right now? It looked like an SNL skit. Like, it was
kind of.
Like,
I was like,
that looks
don't,
really.
Don't have that on stage. If you're going to already rip us out of the stage play, put it in the house where they lived.
Yeah. I think that was them trying to be artistic and comply with the budget restrictions.
And be cheap as fuck.
Yeah, they had the color thing from the stage, like you said, like in the back of the back of the bed and all that.
Yeah.
And it looked like surreal and everything, but again, it was just it didn't play right, you know. But as far as him getting bounced around different parts, like, he sells it. I think it's a fine idea. It's a movie too that it understands the power, obviously, of suggestion, because it has to fucking it has to build all this other shit that's outside of the movie.
Yeah,
right. And the only way they can do that was with info dump. So I'm imagining his life outside of this movie. I'm imagining him going to Bohemian Grove. I'm imagining that fucking, like, he either traded his life or his life, his wife,
yeah,
for fame, and, yeah, or it's just runoff from him being, yeah, involved in the occult at
the,
all.
The breadcrumbs of it all is great. You can connect the dots yourself, and I think that's why I didn't care for those last final 5 minutes.
It was like, too tacked on.
I didn't need to know. You could already tell.
I think they needed, to me, I do get that they needed him. We needed something that he would be going to prison for.
Yeah, there needed to be a closure for the story.
Well, he needs to kill someone, and he's not going to kill someone unless he's convinced that what he's doing, unless he's in some cognitive illusion,
yeah,
where he has a reason to kill the girl. The reason why he needs to kill someone is because then he'll get fucking consequences from the law. Like, he'll go to prison. He's not just going to, like, go to hell. He's going to be, yeah, confined and be a fucking murderer.
Also, can I say the actress who played... the fuck is her name?
Is it the author?
Like, I'll remind you, Charles Manson never killed anybody.
The girl who played Lily, I thought she was incredible in this film. Like, her deadpan stares at the camera when they were like, no,
possessed girl?
Yeah.
Fucking great.
I thought she was awesome. I thought she was fucking great. Like, when she would stare at the camera, like longingly.
And it was always in the background,
too. Yeah.
It wasn't, like, you know, obvious. I really liked that, too, yeah.
The actor Riz Alteri did a great job as Gus. Super, super awesome.
Oh, he was good.
That's me, dude. Are you Gus?
No. But there was this part too where the possessed girl, again, it's using its limitations as a strength. Again, her face contorts into like a monstrous thing for like a brief second. We saw it in the trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
But it's like long enough to leave a fucking visual imprint in your head, mm-hmm, and the power of suggestion.
There's a lot of those moments. Yeah. I liked it, yeah.
And that's like, that's very deft.
When they had Christal, or not whatever
daft.
His name is.
It's not daft.
When they had Christal, when he was, his third moment where he was having like the really bad medium episode and his eyes were rolling in the back, did you see his, Jack Delroy's wife behind him?
Yeah, so
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
There's a couple moments where the camera pans and you see like a ghost superimposed on somebody. Mm. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you love the taking of Deborah Logan, is what you're saying.
Fuck no. This movie is way fucking better than
it
that
is.
Movie.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You embrace the surrealism, and we feel like it wasn't that, we weren't sold on it as much.
I'd love for it to be spookier. I would. Me too. But I thought it was funnier than spooky, and I was fine with it. It was fun. It was a fun indie horror film, and I'm glad, yeah, I got to see it.
I think retrospectively, after I made those criticisms when I came out of the theater, like, oh, it was all goofy. Like, yeah, it actually was there in the beginning with some of the dry humor and everything, yeah, but then it would also have its very serious moments, so it was just hard to kind of tell. And that's the thing about films when they're trying to go campy or serious, or when we talk about comedy horror, you can't have both at 100%. You know, if you're going
to
have...
It's hard to do
if
that.
You're, yeah. It's like one in 50 comedy horror movies, you can nail it perfectly. If you have a comedy horror, you're not going to get the best comedy because of the horror, and you're never going to have the best horror because of the comedy. And it's just, it's really an interesting tightrope act.
Except if you're Cabin in the Woods, then yeah, you can do both.
Exactly.
I will say that, like, this movie's reputation from the festival circuit... the actor,
yeah,
being in it, like, because it's like a fan favorite supporting actor from a lot of fucking good movies.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of Nolan movies.
Yeah, a lot of Denis Villeneuve movies. And the but, and then
we love him.
He's an Ant-Man. No, I'm just kidding. But he is an Ant-Man. What the fuck was I going to say?
I don't know.
The name, it's a great name, Late Night with the Devil. It's got a lot going for it like that. Like the poster with like the no head and he's on fire. That shit's fucking dope. All of that is better than the film.
Yeah.
But it creates like this veneer around the film where it becomes like more than the sum of its parts to me a little bit.
Okay.
And for me, it got like if in the third act it didn't get to that hypnosis part, I would like this film considerably less. Because to me, dude, I love that shit. Because
that was a great scene.
That shit is scary. Like, power of suggestion, hypnosis, all of that is so fucking mysterious. And it, yeah, is scary. Like, and by itself, whatever. Yeah. You don't need a fucking demonic story. Like, it's fucking crazy that that's how shit works.
Yeah. And I'm glad they let those scenes breathe. They like I said, it's played out in real time. So each, yeah, guest gets a moment to really soak in the scenes and stuff, and I like the pacing.
Yeah, this is bad.
What is that? Is
it's
that
the, from the movie? It's the fucking...
The
it's
wife?
It's the wife with cancer.
You fuck. Just don't like bald women.
She looked... It was rough, dude. It was rough. Courtney and I were bad. Like... It's like, dude, like the...
Yeah.
How she portray her as like a ghost. And it's like, okay, dude. But then that's the argument, though. It's like, are they trying to go for like, this is what it would look like if it was in the 70s, like the horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
The
effects. Because they're trying not to leave the aesthetic, right? But then it ends up hurting the scene.
Exactly.
Christu is the best.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that face.
But like some of those CGI, though, like the projectile vomit, it was like, oh, a little CGI-ish, you know. Yeah. Then you got the AI, we'll be right back shit and stuff. They had like three, I think, slides of AI that a lot of people were up in arms about. Not that big of a deal in the end, but it was weird.
You had mentioned that. But last
I was like,
week.
You got funding from Abu Dhabi and you couldn't pay some graphic artist to do some fucking shit. And you got,
nah, dude, co-pilot, bro.
Yeah, you got this early mid journey, like a skeleton with like 2.5 fingers. Like, I was like, okay, bro. I know, like, it's fucked up.
It was bad. I didn't notice that.
There
shit.
Was three, all of like the owl on the TV. I was like, that's. The thing is, if you're familiar with AI art,
you know what you're looking for. Yeah,
you know what? I'm a sucker too.
Speaking of which,
I'm a total sucker for the owl thing.
Yeah,
for Moloch, for like, well, that's a that's an actual fucking an actual thing. It's an actual made up thing. No, but it's a fucking entity that people worshipped like in ancient times, and some still do. And it's an sometimes depicted as an owl headed fucking god that they did child sacrifice to. And so, like, even, like, dude, all thematically, the owl fucking theme and...
The Bohemian Grove,
it's a fucking owl statue. Like, I'm a sucker for all that. Like...
You saw that shit and you were like,
oh. Kind of. A little bit. I'm like, if you're gonna get... You know, because, look, Hell House LLC, I'm like...
Hey, whoa, hey.
But if you want to give me the backstory of a fucking... Of Moloch and fucking Bohemian Grove... Well, some of that's... Like, that's
they tease
dope.
It in True Detective, and I was like, oh. You know, it's good.
Well, dude, there's a lot of fucking cool shit online about Bohemian Grove, like video.
Did you see the video of a guy who went
snuck
there?
In?
Yeah.
Well, you know who that was?
Nah.
Alex Jones. Alex Jones snuck in there.
Oh, I think I saw a different guy. Maybe it was Alex. Maybe it was Alex Jones. I don't know.
Alex Jones is one of the guys who snuck in there before he just went total fucking, yeah.
Before he went.
He probably didn't sneak in either. He's probably a plant, and he's there to discredit any kind of conspiracy theory. Speaking of which... He's got a fucking new, not he's got, they have a new HBO Max thing about his fucking trial. Woo! It's good shit. No, yeah. But, yes, I'm a sucker for all that kind of stuff. Like that lore.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, dude. Like, if you went to Bohemian Grove and all they did was just do that, like, fucking... mock ritual, and there's like no fucking orgy and like eating children, like I would be so disappointed, right? Like if it was just some gentleman's club for the super rich out in the woods, and they don't do some fucked up shit,
have you
how
seen the
lame
movie,
is that?
The Conspiracy, I think that's what's called.
I dig that movie.
I liked it too, but it does end with like it's just a gentleman's club. But I like the subversion of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea that people's we're projecting this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not real, that means it's coming from you.
Yeah.
So you're the fucked up one, not them.
Yeah.
You're the one.
Yeah, because I'm looking for the proof that Hillary wore a kid's face and shit. Like, yes, I knew it. I want it, dude. Yeah, I want the adrenochrome. Tell me it's true. Confirm my fucked up shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was a dope movie, yeah.
All right.
That's not a good stopping point.
It's a great stopping point. Shut the fuck up.
All right.
All right, dummies. Episode 411. We're done.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
This is Jorge signing out. We'll see you next week.
We don't know what we're doing yet.
Ghostbusters, dude.
Oh, fuck no. I refuse, dude.
What did you say to your coworker?
It was a buddy of mine from AA, and he's like, hey, have you seen Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters yet? I said, absolutely not.
That's what it is. Absolutely not.
He hasn't texted back.
We will fucking...
Like, why not?
We will fucking not be watching Ghostbusters. Thank you very much.
No, I don't want to hurt myself like that.
We'll see you next week.
Bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive.
never get out of this world alive.